Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys once again for tuning in. Hope that everyone's having a really great and productive week. Hope everyone had a great weekend this past weekend. As far as where I'm at, it's a little rainy over here, up here in North Florida, but overall, no complaints. Actually, aside from it being rainy, it has been super duper hot. And I don't know if I could take this heat, honestly. I walked outside of my house on Monday, and it was like 97 degrees. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can even take this. Like, I'm going to take myself back inside and enjoy the AC. But at the end of the day, it's summer. It's crazy because I always look forward to summer. And then once summer actually comes around, I hate summer. Kind of like a weird relationship. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm grateful, man. But hope, like I said, hope everyone's having a really good week, man, and I hope that you guys have a great rest of your week as well. But got a lot to talk about. So last time I was on here, I was telling you guys that I've been going back watching some games, some old Florida State games, whether it's from this past season or whether it's from 15 years ago, 20 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. Saturday night, I was bored at home. I think the Summer League games had just ended and there was no WNBA games on for the rest of the night, so I just turned on a game. It was about like 11:30 p.m. my time, and I was still wide awake, so I said, hey, I'm gonna turn on a game. So I went ahead and watched Florida State versus Clemson from this past season, the men's team at least, and a lot of things that I took from it. First thing that I took from it was I'm glad that Jameer Watkins is back. I think last season it really showed how much of a focal point he is to this team, not only just offensively, but defensively as well. I mean, I've been on record saying it here and in several articles that I believe that Jameer Watkins was by far one of the best defenders in the ACC last year. You know, when you talk about what he was able to do on the perimeter, just be able to wreak havoc defensively, you know, it was just tremendous. And then offensively too, you know, being the primary ball handler, the primary initiator, and being able to score on his own, but then also being able to set other guys up for success. And thank God we got him back, because if Jameer Watkins would have left and decided to pursue his career in the NBA, who knows what could have been this upcoming season for Florida State. You know, who was going to be the primary ball handler, who's going to be the primary playmaker to set things up and make sure that the offense is running well. So I'm happy that Jameer Watkins is coming back. And another thing that I took away from the game that I watched is I'm going to miss Cam Corn a lot, man. You know, shout out to Cam Corn. For those who don't know, he recently committed to play for Pitt, played 2 years at Florida State, and I think that his sophomore year was just super sensational. It's just so much with Cam to me, you know, when I look at everything that he's just able to do on both ends. I think offensively, he's really gifted, honestly. I don't know if we've really seen the best of him offensively, but he showed a lot of promise offensively as far as being able to face up, knock down perimeter or knockdown mid-range shots. He's very effective in the pick and roll. He's very strong when attacking the basket. He attacks the basket ferociously. He can play with his back to the basket. He can post up. You know, he could do a multitude of things offensively, and I don't know if we have seen the best out of him. And it's funny, it's kind of funny, because his best game this past year was against Pitt when he scored 25 points, and now he's actually going to go play for the team. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I know that they're an ACC rival, but Pitt is a pretty good program. You know, I think that they've done pretty well over the past couple of years, especially this past year. When we went into the house, they blew us out. Give credit to Blake Henson for just shooting the lights out in that game. But those were two things that I took away from the game, or from that game that I watched against Clemson. Obviously, we ended up losing the game. Clemson is an elite environment, like as far as like the crowd and everything. And just the electricity in that arena, you know, it's very hard for opposing player or for opposing teams to play in that arena. So, you know, I mean, that was an elite game. And, you know, I plan on watching some more games. I actually started watching a game from 2007. This is when Florida State played against North Carolina in North Carolina. I started that game. I probably watched like the first like 5 minutes of that game. So I'm going to go back probably later on this week, or maybe this weekend, to possibly finish that game. But, you know, when I do, I'll definitely let you guys know my thoughts on that as well. Other quick news before I dive into the main topic. So for people who know, Florida State has been in a battle with the ACC. I don't remember the exact the exact reasons why, or I don't know the details in full, but I know that there was potential that we might leave the ACC, whether it was the next couple years or so. And then I started hearing rumors that we could possibly join the SEC. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'll have to ask some sources because I want to get confirmation. But that would be very interesting if the entire school moved from the ACC to the SEC. And the SEC is a very successful league. It is a very, very successful league in multiple sports, basketball, football, you name it. So I'm only imagining what the basketball teams would look like if Florida State did go to the SEC, honestly. On the men's side, I mean, the SEC has been very elite. You still got teams like Auburn. You still got teams like Tennessee. I'm curious to see what Kentucky looks like this year now that Coach Cal is no longer there. And on top of that, you know, Cal's new team, Arkansas, I'm very interested to see what they can do. So the SEC is a really good conference in men's basketball. And then as far as for women's basketball, if you ask me, it's one of the best conferences in the country, if not the best. I mean, you talk about South Carolina, you talk about LSU, you talk about now Kentucky, now that they got Kenny Brooks as their head coach. So I'm very interested to see what Kentucky can do this upcoming season. I still think that there's a lot of teams. Obviously, our rivals, Florida, the Florida Gators women's basketball team is actually really, really good. Shout out to Aaliyah Matharu, and then other teams as well. So, like I said, I don't know if the rumors are true that we could head to the SEC. And even if they are true, it probably wouldn't happen in the near future. But that would be something that's very interesting. But I'm going to keep tabs on this whole situation with Florida State and the ACC because I know that they've been back and forth. I haven't been able to get full detail on it, which I'm kind of ashamed of myself because I should be locked in on it. But once I start reading and, you know, getting all the information and everything, I'll definitely let you guys know. But without further ado, let's dive into the main topics. Let's talk some summer league. We got a couple Florida State players playing in the summer league. First, we can start with the San Antonio Spurs, who have two former Florida State players, and that is Mr. Darren Green Jr. and that is Mr. Raekwon Gray. Now, unfortunately, Raekwon has yet to play in the summer league, which I'm very surprised by because Raekwon's been a part of that San Antonio Spurs organization for a little while now, especially playing with their G League affiliate. So he's been around for a while, and I thought he played really well in the G League personally. I had the luxury of going back watching a couple games from this past year and even the years before. I thought Raekwon Gray was really good in the summer league, in the G League. So it's kind of surprising to me to see how effective he was in the G League and how he's not getting opportunities in the summer league, but that's neither here nor there. On the other hand, Darren Green Jr. has played all three of the San Antonio Spurs games in the summer league. The first game was against the Charlotte Hornets. The second game was against the Golden State Warriors. I'll have to go back and double check. I think I am wrong on that one, but I know for a fact the third game was against China. And that is the only game where Darren Green has scored was against China last night when he only scored 3 points. So, but even though he's only scored in one of the three games that he has played, there's a lot of things that's very interesting to me as I've been able to watch him on the floor. You know, obviously his movement is really, really spectacular. You can see how San Antonio is really utilizing him as a spot up shooter. And I think that's going to be his niche in the NBA. If he does get a shot in the NBA, is being a spot up shooter. Now look, Darren Green Jr. is a sniper. I told you guys in the last episode that he, in my opinion, and it's probably me sounding biased, but oh well, I believe that he was one of the best snipers in college basketball last year. And I know that he had a lot of his ups and downs last year as far as shooting from the perimeter, but when this guy gets going and he's able to shoot the ball in rhythm, I'll be real, there's no stopping him. He's got a nice quick release. He's really good at coming off of screens. You know, and once he catches the ball, he lets it fly. And there's really a lot of times the defense doesn't really have a lot of time to adjust, time to really contest a shot, time to really get a block shot because he releases the ball so quick, like as soon as he catches it. So I think that'll be his niche like when he gets an NBA opportunity is, can he be a knockdown spot up shooter? And that's fine. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what he's great at. He is a sniper from the perimeter. Not saying that he can't do anything else, because I've seen Darren Green over the past 2 years being able to score off the dribble. I've seen Darren Green Jr. be able to get defensive stops. I've seen Darren Green Jr. do a lot of great things on the basketball court. But what he is best at is shooting the basketball from the perimeter. And that's going to be his niche. And he ended up scoring his points late in the game last night against China when the game was already decided. But still, you know, you love the confidence that he has, just being able to step into a shot and be able to knock it down effectively. And on top of that, I also have the knowledge of the fact that, you know, I think he's had a couple of rebounds, you know, throughout the summer league. And I know that he's had a couple of assists, so he's definitely doing little things. But I love the fact of how he is moving without the basketball. And I love the fact that he's staying ready and anticipating passes. You know, that's what more can you ask for? So I'm just glad that he's getting some opportunity. I'm glad that he's getting some burn in the summer league, because especially now that you're transitioning from college to the professional level. And don't get it twisted at all. Like, the summer league is still professional basketball. This is still high level basketball. And it's not an easy adjustment for many players who are coming from college to the NBA or even in the summer league. Like, for instance, like I know a lot of great players who did not really play that well in the summer league. I'm talking about like all-stars, even Hall of Famers in the past who did not play well in the summer league, but still went on to have really great careers. One that comes to mind is, I remember back in 2018, this is when Trae Young was just drafted from Oklahoma. And I remember he shot terribly in his first summer league game. And everybody just dogged him, saying, oh, he's trash, he's a bust, this, that, and the third. But now, look, Trae Young is arguably one of the best point guards in the NBA. You know, he's been able to lead the Atlanta Hawks to the conference finals one time. He's led them to the playoffs multiple times. So you can't really determine somebody's career off of a summer league performance, whether it's just one game or even just the entire summer league in general. But my advice for Darren Green Jr. is to stay ready. That's my advice to him, is to stay ready. Like I say, you know, he's shooting the ball with confidence. I know that, you know, I want to say he took one shot in the last game, even before the China game. And I want to say he shot another shot even in the first game when they played against the Charlotte Hornets. But just stay ready, anticipate those passes, do what you do best, which is being a sniper from the perimeter. As far as for Raekwon Gray, I hope that he can get some burn soon as well. Their summer league is not over yet. I know that they played in the California Classic, but now they're moving on to Vegas this upcoming weekend. I believe their first game is against the Portland Trail Blazers, so please be in tune for that. Also, former Florida State player Malik Osborne is on the Phoenix Suns summer league team, so be on the lookout for him this weekend as well. So, because I want to say he's gonna be playing his first game as well. So, former Florida State players are showing out right now. I'm not gonna say that they're showing out, but they are active on summer league rosters. So that's something that's super dope to see. And for all the Florida State hoop heads, you know, I would advise you guys to please be in tune, because, you know, I really hope that they can play well. And I really want everybody to be in tune, you know, with what they got going on. But let's move on to the next topic. We have a commit on the women's side. I have been talking about a lot of young prospects on the women's side that have gotten offers from Florida State and have narrowed down their list. And Florida State is on the list as far as top 5, 6, 7 schools that they're interested in. But we do have a commit. Let's hold our horses, though, because this young woman will not be playing this upcoming season because she will be a senior in high school. But when she does arrive to the program, I believe that she's going to be very valuable. And that is Miss Mari Gurton. I really hope that I'm pronouncing her last name right. I don't know if it's Gurton or Jurton. I want to say it's Gurton because that sounds more accurate. But if I am getting her name wrong, please, please let me know, because I honestly hate getting names wrong. But yes, Mari Gurton has committed to Florida State, class of 2025 guard, 5'8" from Princeton High School. I had the luxury of being able to watch her game, or I watched a couple highlights. I'll say this. I watched a couple highlights that were on YouTube, and I had a chance to really do my studies, because she also has her own YouTube page as well, and she posts her own highlights on YouTube. So that's how I got a lot of my information. And I like her a lot. I like her a lot. I kind of question, like, Would she be a point guard for the team, or would she just be sliding over to the two guard? So that's something that I'm really interesting in, or really interested in, whenever she is ready to play in college, is she a one or is she a two? But aside from that, I think that she could play either role effectively. She's the real deal. And offensively, she's super dangerous with or without the basketball. And it is, like, it's a luxury for players to be effective with or without the basketball. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of great players in our lifetime that we've seen be elite with or without the basketball, whether it's Michael Jordan, whether it's Kobe Bryant, or whether it's, I don't know, Carmelo Anthony or whoever. Like, a lot of the great scorers in our lifetime have been effective with or without the basketball in their hands. And that's what makes them dangerous. I could start off ball. You know, she moves really well. And she navigates through screens really well. I mean, she really knows how to use her screeners. Her screeners know when she's cutting baseline or when she's slot cutting or wherever it is. Whenever she's cutting or whenever she's trying to get open, her screeners know when to make that move at the right time. And that's one thing that I do love. And playing with this Florida State team, where we always have pretty good bigs, you know, she's going to be able to work effectively with those bigs as far as coming off the screens and being able to get open for perimeter shots or finding openings to attack the basket. So that's one thing that I really love about her, is that she's always in constant motion and the defense always has to be alert whenever defending her without the basketball. Now, even with the basketball in her hands, even more dangerous. You know, I love the fact that she can attack at will. It seems like she absorbs contact really, really well around the basket. And I think that is a plus, because if you can't play through contact in basketball, then if you ask me, I don't think you need to be on the floor, honestly. So that's definitely a plus from her. She's elite scoring at all three levels. I mean, she has a little mid-range game that I really like. You know, I've seen her take a couple dribbles and then pull up. She's definitely a great three-point shooter as well. And then defensively is where I think she can make a huge difference for this Florida State team. I mean, I think that she's an elite on-ball defender. She is an elite perimeter defender. She can get into the passing lanes. She knows, like, I don't know, it's like her timing is just so great whenever she is guarding a primary ball handler. Like, she knows when to disrupt. She knows when to be able to go for the strip, you know, or just whenever to go for the steal and be able to force turnovers. It's like she understands certain tactics on when to be effective defensively on the ball handler and when to go for a steal. And I think that's really dope. And defense, you can say that defense is a skill, but it's also effort at the same time. You just have to want to be able to defend. And at least from what I've seen in the film that I've watched, Amari Gurdon, she is definitely one who takes pride on the defensive end. And obviously, great defense always leads to great offense. And I think that's something that she understands, especially as a leader of her team at Princeton High School. Like, she understands that she has to be able to set the tone defensively, especially with her being the guard and being able to pick up ball handlers, whether it's 94 feet or 50 feet or whatever it is, you know, being able to pick them up and just being able to set the tone, because obviously when you set the tone, that's going to rub off on the rest of the team. So that's something that's really dope to see. So I think she's going to fit in with the Florida State team tremendously. And she's what the Seminoles need moving forward. So I love this pickup. I love the fact that Coach Brooke and the rest of the coaching staff found her. And she's going to be great, honestly, man. You know, I'm really, because she's going to come in when Taniya Latson's a senior. So that combination could be really deadly. I'm not going to say that they're going to be like an elite duo or anything, but I think that if given the opportunity, they could feed off of one another tremendously, because they can both play well with and without the basketball. So I would be really interested to see, you know, how that would work. But Mari Gurdon is an elite all-around player. I would highly advise, for the people who are listening or watching, to please go watch her tape. Please go watch her on YouTube. She has her own YouTube channel, actually, and she posts all of her highlights, even from like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, from 4 or 5 years ago all the way to now, you will see all of her highlights. Or maybe not all of her highlights, but a lot of her highlights. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the move. You know, congrats to her on becoming a Seminole, and we can't wait to see you come on campus come soon. And before we get out of here, I want to congratulate Natasha Howard for reaching 3,500 points scored in her career. She did it last Thursday, I want to say, against the Phoenix Mercury. Even though the game resulted in a loss, it's still a really, really great milestone. Natasha Howard, I know that the Dallas Wings have not been great this year, but she has been really good. She's been really good. Obviously, she's a great stretch big, can knock down the three. She's great with her ball handling. She's great at creating off the dribble. I've seen her being able to turn off either shoulder a lot of times this year. So Natasha Howard is doing Natasha Howard things on offense. And then, of course, defensively, being able to get stops. And then, of course, her rebounding is great. So, like I said, Natasha Howard is doing Natasha Howard things this season. And in a way, I guess you could say it's kind of overshadowed because the Dallas Wings have not been great this year. And that's not their fault. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, and that's something that you can't control. But definitely Natasha Howard has been great, man. And I'll be honest, man, she can continue this momentum because she's been dominant. And like I said, it's not even just scoring, it's been rebounding as well. So, like, I really hope that people start to pay attention to what she's doing. Like, I really do. Because, like I said, I know that Dallas is not good this year, but statistically, she's been putting up great numbers. And honestly, I mean, even with now the W going into its Olympic break, so they're going to miss about like 3 weeks or so, she can utilize that time to just continue to improve, continue to get the rest that she needs, and then come back and be much of, like, just be even more of a monster. So, like I said, congrats to Natasha Howard on scoring 3,500 points in her career, and it's just another testament to her greatness. But that's going to wrap up this episode. Very short episode, per se, but once again, appreciate you guys. I appreciate all the supporters and all the listeners who tune in. Like I said, I know it's off season. I know it's slow. I know that we're ready for basketball season. Well, I'm sure a lot of people take that back. I know a lot of people are going to be ready for football season first because that's around the corner. And the basketball season will pick up about a couple months after. I know that we still have a little ways to go. We're only in mid-July, but trust me, it'll come faster than you know what. I think I've said it on here a couple of times. 2024 has just been flying by. It's kind of crazy to think that we're in month 7, and it feels like just yesterday. It's crazy. It feels like it's just yesterday because I was actually at, so quick story before we get out of here, I was actually at Florida State versus Wake Forest women's basketball game on New Year's Eve. After that, I drove my way back home because I live an hour away from Tallahassee. I drove back home and then celebrated New Year's at home. And it's crazy because just me celebrating New Year's at home, it feels like that was just like 2 weeks ago, but it was 6 months ago. Which is crazy to me. Like, it's so wild to see how fast time flies. But like I say, basketball season will be here before you know it. But until then, I will be here giving you guys updates. So please make sure to subscribe. Make sure to review on anywhere you listen, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. Follow me on X at NickAndreATR. That's where you'll see a lot of my updates as far as basketball and Florida State content guaranteed. And make sure to check me out on ChopChat.com. Shout out to the team there. Just wrote a recent article on our newest addition, Mari Girton. So please make sure to check that out, and definitely support it, man. But once again, thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope that you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.